Well, to talk more about this drone revolution and who's profiting from it, joining us now is Ed Krajewski, associate editor at Reason.com. Welcome, Ed. So let's talk a little bit more about who exactly is cashing in on putting drones in our skies.
Sure. I mean, like the report had just said, it's the same defense contractors that work with the Defense Department today. They're the ones who are building them, you know, north of Brenham. But there's also commercial drones available, smaller ones, obviously, for personal purchasing, and that's by a wide variety of companies that create those. But most of the drones, I think, that will be used by law enforcement once that's allowed in 2014 are likely to come from the same companies that are building the drones being used in Afghanistan and Somalia, Yemen, Pakistan, etc.
Now, this drone lobby has become a very powerful lobby. So can we expect their influence to only grow?
Yeah, I mean, that's the game, right? You've got when you've got a government that spends, you've got companies that want to spend money to have the government spend on them. So that's the cycle.
And so exactly how many drones are we talking? How many drones can we expect to be soaring in our skies in the coming years?
I mean, it's an exciting prospect for local police departments. So some of them already have them. There's a sheriff's department in Texas that made news last year when they bought a drone that could be equipped with a 12-gauge shotgun or a grenade launcher, even though they didn't purchase it with that attached. And there was a drone used last year to apprehend a suspect in North Dakota. And that suspect is actually now challenging the use of a drone in his apprehension. So I think that case will end up either opening the door for more usage, or if somehow they say, well, you weren't allowed to use that, that may stymie the efforts of local police departments to use drones. But I expect that if they're allowed, everyone's going to want one. So, and not just police departments, farmers want them to count their livestock, and other private organizations are going to want them as well. And the FAA is opening up regulations to allow the commercial use of drones as well.
So it does seem like this is kind of the gadget of the future that everybody wants to get their hands on. But I mean, you had mentioned the local law enforcement getting a hold of these things. I mean, what does that mean? Right now they're kind of used more so on the border. And what happens if local law enforcement gets a hold of these things? Does that the line kind of blur between military and local law enforcement?
Well, I mean, I think the line's been blurred for the last decade. Especially with the opening of two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, created a lot of military surplus that the federal government was more than willing to hand over to local agencies. And actually, just a few months ago, we reported on Reason that the Pentagon was suspending some of that and asking for some of the stuff back because the police departments weren't keeping track of this military-grade equipment. So, and then given the problem that the government, you know, even when they're selling guns to Mexican drug cartels, with the intent of following them, they'll still lose track of them. So I think that is a significant worry that the police departments may not be equipped to use them. But unfortunately, I don't think that's necessarily going to stop. That's not necessarily enough to stop drones from coming to the United States.
And so, well, as you had mentioned, the wars are winding down. So these drones would be used domestically. What does that mean for the average American?
I mean, so right now the Border Patrol has about 9 drones that they use, has 9 drones that they use along the border. And the Washington Times reported recently that they're underutilizing their drones. They only flew those drones 4,000 hours when they could have flown them 10,000. The program's cost about $240 million since 2004. And they're ordering a 10th drone, even though they don't know how to use the 9th drone. So I think the first thing Americans will have to worry about is just how much money might be wasted in this, because a lot of these law enforcement and other agencies are going to be very excited about buying a drone, but then may not even know what to do with it. Other than that, I think what's to be expected is that these drones are going to be used to ramp up the drug war. We have a president that enjoys executing the drug war, and we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years more raids on medical marijuana dispensaries and so forth and so forth. And so especially as states start to loosen their restrictions on drugs and on narcotics, I think there will be the temptation to use drones to expand the war on drugs here at home.
Now, proponents of drone technology actually say, you know, that they try to tout that this is cutting-edge technology. You know, they get the job done efficiently and at a lower cost because you have less people involved in this. They've been used to help seize illegal drugs and used on the border. What do you say to proponents of the drone programs?
I mean, there's no doubt that they do have certain benefits like that. I think it's important to differentiate the use of drones here at home and their use of drones overseas. Overseas drones do have those benefits of being more efficient, of being less costly, and of being more precise. The problem with the United States using drones overseas today is not so much a problem with the technology, it's the fact that the president is waging this war on his own. The New York Times reported a couple weeks ago that for due process for these targets of drone strikes is basically just the president deciding and his people deciding that that someone belongs on a kill list. You know, when you have David Axelrod showing up to Terror Thursdays, or Terror Tuesdays, what they called it, that's a problem. But the problem's not with the technology itself. The technology can't actually save the Defense Department money, make national security cheaper, and make wars more efficient. But the way it's being done now, haphazardly, to kind of just send them to different third world countries and blow people up, and kind of there's no transparency and there's no accountability and there's not really a structure there, that's more the problem than the technology itself. I don't think there's much you can do to stop the technology from developing. It's not a weapon of mass destruction, so it's not something that a lot of countries are going to have invested interest in preventing the proliferation of. So it's more about creating the safeguards necessary
Seeing a proliferation. What we were just seeing on the screen there is one of the new mega drones that are unveiled. It could soar at 11 miles high for days at a time. These things are just getting bigger and better and fancier. I mean, where does it end?
I mean, they're getting smaller too. I think the trend is going to be for towards smaller drones. They have the drones now. They're saying that are the size of insects and will be able to connect DNA and kind of do much more extensive spying than is possible with the bigger drones. Soldiers are being equipped with drones called switchblades, which can fit in a backpack and can be used right out in the battlefield. So I think while the bigger drones may be the ones that get more attention, it's actually the drones that we're going to be bombarded with in the skies are probably going to be the smaller kind and not the giant.
All right. I don't mean to cut you off there, but we are out of time. Thanks so much for coming on the show. That was Ed Krajewski, Associate Editor for Reason.com.